Well, tonight I want to read just one verse here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this verse is kind of going to get us started on a new series of messages. Verse 15 is the one I want to read. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I looked up that word study. I was using, I guess, one of my software programs. As I read that verse, I was thinking about the results again. I don't know if it was the word study, but if so, there was just three verses that popped up. And because I thought to myself, there we go, there's a three-point outline. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that studying is a weariness to the flesh. It's not easy. And that's why a lot of people don't take the time to study. It takes effort. It takes work. And then here we find another reference to the word study. The third, by the way, is to study to be quiet. A lot of people have a problem with that, too. That requires more work than studying books, perhaps. Studying to be quiet. My wife says I've always been quiet. I don't know that that's true. Maybe I am quieter nowadays than I used to be. And so recently I found myself thinking, why am I so quiet? I mean, because, you know, so many times I feel like the atmosphere is such that I should say something, but I don't. And it's because there'd be no purpose for it. And so if we all just spoke when we had a purpose, we'd probably be a lot quieter. Now again, sometimes the purpose can be nothing more than to fellowship with our spouse. You know, you kind of have to carry on a conversation with your spouse occasionally over nothing, just so you can be close to one another. But I guess it would even be best to discuss things of substance, things, spiritual things, or even your own relationship. But I find that a lot of people say things, and I'm thinking about the work setting, but they say things just because they think they should be saying something. So again, sorry, that has nothing to do with my message, but I did come across that verse in the preparation of the message. And here we have a third reference to the word study, and it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." You know, you can demonstrate to the world that God approves of your conduct by being a diligent student of the Bible. Don't be ignorant of the Bible. Know what it teaches. Know what it says, so that you can will be able to communicate the truths of the Word of God to other people. It's commanded here, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah,
study
right.
Is the command. And the reason why we're to study is also given to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Many times we will be shamed by those whom we're having discussions with because we don't have the answers to their criticisms. And again, I think it's to be expected of every young Christian or every new Christian to not have answers to questions that are posed to Bible believers. But again, those of us that have been saved for any length of time, we should get to a point where we're able to answer the critics and skeptics
sure.
of Christianity.
Sure.
Because if we say nothing at all, and if their criticisms go unchallenged, then many times people are likely to believe that what the critics have to say is right. But if someone is criticizing the Scriptures, what they have to say is not right.
Amen.
So I want to begin a series of messages this evening in which we will examine topics that I believe are very relevant today. Issues that Bible believers face consistently, at least if we are actively discussing
sure.
biblical subjects with others. For example, if you witness to people, if you're in the habit of talking to people about the things of the Lord, you won't go very long without hearing phrases like this: "Judge not," or "That's just your opinion," And I'm sure you've heard someone say a time or two, I don't have to go to church to worship God. It's things like this that I want to discuss in this series of messages. Because when we face these types of comments, how do we respond? When people say things as the things I just mentioned, how do we respond? Do we know how to respond? Well, if we don't, or if we're a little bit unsure how to respond, my hope is this series of messages will help us be better prepared to respond to some of the unscriptural things that people say, specifically when we are dialoguing with them about the things of the Bible. 1 Peter 3:15 says, we're to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh of us the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. And when you look at this context in which this verse is found, it's referring to the calmness through which we go, or in which we go through our trials, because it talks about suffering for righteousness' sake.
Right.
And that's a good thing, and it's an okay thing if we're suffering for righteousness' sake. That's why Jesus suffered. And so we're in good company. But when people watch us go through those types of things with a sense of calmness, a sense of peace, they're bound to have questions, and as they do, we ought to be able to give a response. Why we're able to be so calm, why we have such hopeful expectation in regards to the future, even when everything's not going our way right now. But I think we can take that verse and apply it to this series of messages, because again, Christianity today, biblical Christianity, is under attack. And unless we offer a response to some of our critics, there's going to be a generation or two that are led astray and that perhaps die and go to hell. I've been trying over the last few weeks to think about and to pay attention to the types of things I hear from people as I discuss biblical topics with them. Unfortunately, I've not made a list yet, so I don't know how lengthy this series of messages will be. But I want to share with you tonight an experience that I had, a discussion I had with someone else. And I want to highlight to you something that they said to me that I've heard many times before, something that you've probably also heard or will hear in the future if you're a soul winner and if you discuss biblical topics. And recently, I preached a message on the need to discuss spiritual subjects with other people.
Amen.
So that it becomes commonplace to discuss the things of the Bible, to discuss, if you want to call it, religion, to discuss Jesus Christ. We need to make this commonplace so it's easier for our children to talk about these things.
Amen.
Because nowadays people are offended even at the mention of the name Jesus Christ. And so we need to change that. And if some of you are incorporating that into your life, you're finding out that people have a whole lot of unscriptural things that they say to you in response to what you believe. Well, I was recently carrying on a discussion with someone, and they were doing most of the talking, which probably doesn't surprise anybody, but this particular individual, they knew that I was a Christian. They know that I'm a pastor, and when people know that you're a pastor, and maybe it's true when they just know that you're a devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are certain things that they like to share with you. Matter of fact, one of the first things people usually tell me when they find out that I'm a preacher and that I pastor a church, they tell me about their where it is that they volunteer, you know, or about their experience on a mission or something. People always want to communicate to me their possible service for the Lord. I guess there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes I get the impression as though they've got to justify themselves. But I was having this person was having a discussion with me, trying to have a discussion with me, and they indicated to me that they recently were made aware of a music shop. I believe it's in Terre Haute somewhere. And in this music shop, that the gentleman carried all kinds of music, LP, cassette, CD formats, and had the hopes of having only Christian music in his music shop. Now, again, I got the impression that that wasn't the case at this particular time, but this individual had a goal, had a mission of only selling Christian music. And I guess in an attempt to draw attention to this store that he opened, he had a concert. And there was maybe two or three different bands that were there playing at this concert. And the individual that I was talking with, he had went to the concert. And he was telling me about the store, and he was telling me about the concert, and he mentioned the names of the bands and wondered if I had heard of them because they were contemporary Christian bands. But I had, you know, I hadn't heard of any of them. I kind of know some of the big names because we see them occasionally in the Friday Church News Notes, or I read about them on news stories, but I hadn't heard of any of the individuals that he mentioned, and I kind of know the type of individual he is, and yeah, he's into music, likes to play the guitar, likes jazz, rock, just about everything. And so here he was at this concert that was put on by this music store, and he was interested in what my opinion, you know, of this sort of thing was. And, you know, I kind of ho-hum and hesitate for a little bit because I know that just to speak my mind plainly probably isn't going to get me very far. So I try to answer, as the verse said a moment ago, with meekness and fear, and just say, you know, me and my family, we have very high standards when it comes to music. I said, you know, if my children, because he thought maybe my children would be interested in that type of thing, I said, you know, if my children even listen to jazz or country music, if they were to hear that, they would immediately say something about how inappropriate it is. And I said, unfortunately, I find amongst most contemporary Christian bands that they're nothing more than a mirror of rock and roll right. bands that are in the world. I mean, they look, I said, as a pastor, I get literature from rock bands or different festivities that are going on, and I look at the pictures of these supposed Christian bands, and I can't distinguish them between secular music bands.
That's right.
They have the funny hair.
Yeah.
They've got earrings or long hair. And again, some people may think I'm somewhat old-fashioned for thinking that that's inappropriate, but again, the Bible specifically addresses the length of a man's hair.
Yeah.
The Bible specifically says that we're not to mar our bodies with tattoos, nor to puncture them like people do all over the place.
Right.
We're not to partake in that type of thing. And so, and like, I didn't go into that great a detail with the individual, but just simply said that we have these high standards. And what I find amongst most contemporary Christian music, while the words sometimes include spiritual themes and topics, the music is identical to the world's music.
Sure it is. Right.
And so me and my family, we reject it. And we listen to pretty much only sacred music.
Right.
And at some point in the conversation, he said something like this, "But how can you win them? How can you win them? How can I win them?" I guess with that type of belief, with that type of attitude. How can I be separated and still be a soul winner? Can I be separated and still be a soul winner? That's really the theme for tonight's message. When you hear someone say something like that, how can you win them? But you got to win them, and they're implying that you can't win them with what it is that you believe. How do you respond to that? Because you see, when someone says something like that, there are some things that they don't understand.
Amen.
The first thing they don't understand is that our primary goal is not to win sinners. You see, I was sitting there thinking about the conversation after it was over, and that thought came to me. And matter of fact, I thought, you know what, it probably would have been impactful to say that in the discussion. To say, you know what, my ultimate goal in life is not to win the sinner. It's not. While that might be an appropriate thing for a Christian to do, it's not my primary goal. It's not my ultimate goal. My ultimate goal is to glorify God.
Amen.
to please Him. And you know what? If you get those two things backwards, you're bound to have trouble.
Yes, right.
There's going to be terrible consequences.
Right.
Because if your ultimate goal is to win people without any regard to glorifying the Lord, you're going to incorporate into your life unbiblical means by which you attempt
You're right.
To win sinners.
You're right.
I don't know that this group is really interested in winning sinners, but they're interested in winning people. Winning people to something. I'm not sure what. But when you hear that from someone, you can't win them like that. You can't win them being separated. Remind them, our ultimate goal as a Bible-believing Christian is not to win people. It's to glorify God.
Right.
And that can only happen as we are obedient to the Word of God. Which leads me to the second thing that we need to say to people like this. Because they don't understand that being separated and winning souls are not mutually exclusive. It doesn't have to be either or.
Amen.
If you're a soul winner, that doesn't mean you can't be separated. If you're separated, it doesn't mean you can't be a soul winner. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's a command of God. Preach the gospel. Win sinners. But so is 2 Corinthians 6:17, when it says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Both separation is commanded and soul winning is commanded.
Sure. Right.
Which tells me we don't have to pick between the two.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And because I'm separated or because you're separated doesn't mean you can't win sinners.
Right.
There's a third thing they don't understand. They don't understand evidently what's meant by separation. If they did, they wouldn't say you can't win them being separated. I think we live in an age where it's very important to define your words. I mean, you know, like in politics today, the conservatives want to call the liberals socialists, and they want to say, "We're not socialists. You're socialists. We're not socialists. Stop for a second. Let's define a socialist." And after we define what a socialist is, then we can look at your actions and determine whether or not that's what you are. If you want the government to control everything, in my mind, you're a socialist. Maybe they define it in another way. I don't know. When it comes to this idea of separation, you know, if we hear comments like the one that I heard, we need to be careful to define what is meant by separation. Because we don't mean that we, a separated, independent, Bible-believing Baptist, that we lock ourselves in our homes after 5 o'clock. That's not what I mean by that. When I say I'm separated from the world, I don't mean I don't have any interaction with the world.
Right. Amen.
I have lots of interaction with the world. I can't escape out of the world. I've got to live here till God calls me home. So that's not what is meant by that. So me not listening to music that I deem inappropriate does not affect my attempt to win people to Christ. Matter of fact, I give you a fourth thing that people don't seem to understand. And that is, it seems to me it's only separated people who are trying to really win sinners. Because separated people are the people that believe the Bible.
Right, yeah.
And the Bible commands you to be separated, and it commands you to be a soul winner. And so someone who truly believes the Bible and wants to obey it is going to practice biblical separation and biblical soul winning. You know, I find that most of the time those who make the kind of statements that this gentleman did to me, they're not trying to win anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not to Christ. I mean, the gentleman that that said this to me, he's a Catholic.
Hmm.
A Catholic. He went to this concert, I don't believe, to win people to Christ. He plays the guitar, enjoys music, mentioned to me he wanted to support the mission statement of this particular gentleman. He wasn't trying to win anybody. He was trying to enjoy himself. And I've had the strangest people tell me, well, you can't win them like that. Well, they're not even... They're sometimes people that say that are ungodly wretches. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't care if people are won to Christ.
No, you're right.
They're just trying to keep me from being separated.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a last thing. Because people who say things like this gentleman said, they don't understand. You can't win them when you're just like them. You can't win the lost to Christ when you're just like them. If so, what in the world are you winning them to?
Yeah, think about it.
You know, I know that if we downplay biblical separation, don't make an issue out of it, don't make a point out of it, it makes the sinner much more comfortable. Because then he doesn't see the need to change.
Uh-huh.
Stop and think about that for a second. Let's throw away biblical separation. Throw away things like not listening to rock and roll music. Throw away the idea of remaining pure until you're married. Throw away these other things that we consider fleshly. Throw away our standards in regards to liquor and alcohol and cigarettes and cursing. Just throw all that away so that when we approach the sinner about Jesus Christ, he doesn't have to feel so uncomfortable. And what happens? That sinner never really gets saved.
Right.
Why? Because he comes to Jesus thinking that there's no need to change. There's nothing to repent of. The logic and the reason behind this argument that you can't be separated and win sinners is flawed. Do we have to practice sodomy to win the sodomites? Do we have to be a murderer to win the murderer? Do we have to be fornicators and whoremongers to win the adulterers? No, God forbid.
Amen.
And we can't listen to rock and roll music
right.
to win the rock and roll music crowd.
Amen.
You win them and win. Let me just say one last thing. You've heard the phrase the straw man. You know how people make straw men. I don't know if all of you understand what's meant by that, but let me try to explain it. If our critics define what we mean by being separated like a straw man, they can just knock it right over. All those independent fundamental Baptists that are separated down at Shepherdsville Baptist Church, they believe you got to lock yourself in your homes and not go to the malls and not go to the movies and never drink. They never talk to anybody. They just sit up there on their estate and stick to themselves. And people even that have a casual knowledge of the Bible, they understand that that's not right. Jesus went out, tried to win sinners, but they create this straw man who's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Knock him over. They define what we mean by separation. That way they can easily refute it. But what they don't understand is what we mean by separation. Separation is holiness.
Mm-hmm.
Separation is acting just like God would have us to act. Acting just like God is. Separation is obeying God's commandments, not to love the world.
Amen.
Separation is not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. It's putting off the old man. That's what separation is, and putting on the new man.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things are scriptural commandments. Scripture commandments. Commandments found straight in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we mean by separation. So people who think that you can't be separated and win people to Jesus Christ, they don't understand what's meant by separation.
Amen.
They don't understand what our primary goal is as a believer. which is to glorify God. They don't understand that God commands separation and soul winning. They don't understand that only separated people truly win souls.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand that you can't win them when you're just like them. Take some time to think about how you're going to respond when someone tells you you can't be separated and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you share your faith with people, you're bound to hear that type of thing.
Yes, sir.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you for the guidance that we receive from it. And God, I pray that we would be students of the word of God, that we would show ourselves approved unto thee. Lord, I believe this book tells us that our primary goal in life as an individual, as a church body, is to glorify you. And Lord, help us to be able to explain that to people who don't understand why we do what we do. God, help us to be able to communicate to them that we love you and desire to be obedient to your word in every area, in the area of soul winning and in the area of separation. God, help us to be an educated church, educated in the word of God. Give us the wisdom that's found in this book that we might be able to win others, not to our way of thinking, but that we might be able to win others to Jesus Christ. So God, take the message and use it tonight for the benefit of thy people. Use it for thy glory as well. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.